Talofa Rita se umu tafa.
Talofa Ioane, ia fa fitai lava mo le avanoa, ia e fa talofa tu le pa io sa molo fa funga mai, susunga I fa fenga inga so se fa tafa I taulanga, te mali I matula fale, ia te ma ma tina ma te tua, ia fa pe alo ma fa anau a si o tatua tu upele.
Before we get on to your music or your studies in music, okay. Tell the audience a bit about yourself. Where were you born and where did the interest in music begin?
Born in New Zealand, in Auckland, in the late 70s. And I guess my father is Semoni Tafa, Fale Ma'a Semoni Tafa. He's from Fale Alupo in Sasina in Savai'i. And my mother is the late Tafia Luifo Akenese Semoni Tafa, and she was from Vaimoso in Tapapali'i. So my parents migrated to Auckland and we were born in the late 70s and I went to school in New Zealand. I grew up and identified as a Samoan, a New Zealand-born Samoan. And I guess I moved to Melbourne later on as an adult with my young family about 15 years ago.
And your father, is he a musician or is your mother a musician?
My father is a musician. So he is and has been the Whaipese of E Whakasa I Tamaki in South Auckland, New Zealand, for the past 30 years now, I believe. He's also one of the founders of that aulotu. He's 72 years old and still pushing through with the choir. I guess all my musical experiences and influences come from him.
So your early exposure to music would have been church music, Sunday school music, would that be right?
Yeah, definitely. I think my early memories, I was put into the Whaipese, at the age of, I think, about four. I remember playing the piano on the little, I don't know if you recall, before the piano came along, a lot of Samoan Whaipeses used to have that little, what do they call it in Samoan? I think it was a bum.
Pump organ.
Yeah. Yes. I found out later on it's called a reed organ. But back in the days, yeah, so that was the instrument that I learned on. We furiously pumped the pedals. It was a very small instrument. So that was the first instrument. And I learned from my father. But of course, his musical knowledge was very limited. So he taught me as much as he could. And then early teen years, he sent me to a private music school. So I learned under Lanice Friskin in Auckland from, I guess, about the age of 10 onwards.
You do have a Bachelor of Music with honours. Let's us, your first class honours, please.
Yes, yeah.
From the University of Melbourne. Is that where you're doing your PhD at the moment?
That is, I'm there still. I'm still there. So it wasn't until I moved to Melbourne I experienced a very strong need to connect with Samoa. I mean, growing up in South Auckland, it's like Samoa for many of us growing up at that time. However, when I moved to Melbourne, it was very hard to see a fellow Samoan. And I think that's when I started to experience this really strong need to connect, to find ways to connect outside of my own family. I did not plan to do music at all. I was very happy as a community musician. I already led, I was the Whaipese for my E Whakasa church. I was competent enough to put together a community choir of Samoan music and Pacific music. However, I felt like there was something missing. In order to push through with Samoan music, I decided to go to university. So at the age of 30, I started the Bachelor of Music. And then I was at the Australian Catholic University for that degree. However, in order for me to continue studying, I wanted to do something about Samoan music, not just perform it and promote it. I wanted to really research, really get into it, find out all about Samoan music, because I couldn't find anything out there that was about Samoan music or anything that I could relate to.
Let's get into the music that you're researching at the moment,
sure.
Samoan music. Would that be under the umbrella of what anthropologists sometimes call ethnomusicology?
Ethnomusicology, yes.
So you would be familiar with the works of, say, Richard Moyle?
Yes, Richard Moyle.
David Fanshawe. What kind of Samoan music are you looking into, or what is Samoan music?
Okay, so at the moment, I don't refer to it as Samoan music, more so because if you translate it into Samoan, today's Samoan, people will say, or that musika Samoa, however, the word musika itself is a Samoanized English word, mm-hmm. like tēnei in time. So I try to avoid using that, and I actually just use Bese Fa Samoa, which just translates to the Samoan way of performing Samoan songs, yeah. Mm. I've come across a lot of, so Richard Moyle's studies on Samoan music, which is based on fieldwork that he conducted in the late 1960s in Samoa. So that's very helpful for my research. However, my particular research looks at musical traditions of Samoans outside of Samoa. So people like myself, the community that I'm in right here in Melbourne, the community that I grew up in Auckland, just communities like that, communities in diaspora, they would call it. And so I'm looking at how do we perform our music? What are the changes? Why are there changes? There's a lot of talk about reverting back to or holding on to the traditional way of music. And of course, with the missionaries arriving into Samoa basically changed from, you know, chant to four-part harmony because of the Christian hymns that were being introduced. So I'm looking at how that change happens in Samoan communities outside of the homeland. So I've chosen a genre of music called Bese Ole Fa'alofalenga. So that's the, I think people casually refer to it as Po Bese. I'm looking at that kind of music and looking at the performance of it from the 1960s in New Zealand and the performance of it today here in Australia. I'm just asking myself questions like, what does it mean that we sing music today with these musical instruments, the keyboard, the drums? Why do we still have the la'e when we perform po pese? Why do we have the kōnginga? What about our fuatemi? You know, our fuatemi role is much different from the choir conductor role. Why is our pese savali, why are we accompanied by our you know, tamali'i? What does it mean when you are a whaipese in New Zealand and you're still kind of functioning as a village? So many questions regarding pese Samoa in outside of Samoa.
The music of the church, especially the music of the Protestant churches, the Congregational Christian Church of Samoa, the Efakasa, the Methodist, mm-hmm. and then later on the Church of the Latter-day Saints and the Seventh-day Adventists. The four-part harmony, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Some of that music would have actually influenced secular music. That became four-part harmony as well. It sounded like American country and Western music.
The word for that would be tonality, which is a term in music where the way that we understand music today, when we try not to get too technical that our listeners, you know, non-musicians don't understand, but the way music is composed today, especially in contemporary music or pop music, is that we will have the chords, you know, say for instance I'm playing a song in the key of C major, you'd have the chord C, then you'll move to your chord 4, which is F major, then you'll go to your dominant chord, which is G. So just the way that music sounds, the backing of it, that's a Western influence on our Samoan people. There was already part singing before the missionaries came, but it wasn't the kind of part singing that, you know, it wasn't the kind of harmonies that we know today. It would, if we were to listen to Samoan singing from 200 years ago, we would probably say, oh, it's not very agreeable. It doesn't sound nice, you know. It's kind of an ugly kind of music. And that is exactly what the missionaries were saying about Samoan people when they listen to Samoan music. A lot of the missionary diaries, you know, their entries were things like, oh, it's a very rude type of singing. And they're referring to the sound of the harmonies. It didn't sound like the harmonies that we know today. So today's music, if you were to compose something for Samoa, of course it would be something that's understood as tonality in music. Something that makes, what's another way of putting it, something that makes sense and is in tune.
Easier to the ear.
Yeah, to the ear. And that's because we are conditioned right now, you know, as people living today, our ears are conditioned to a certain type of music. But 200 years ago, that wasn't the case. You know, that European music was not even in the Pacific Islands back then.
Yeah. Not many people like my favorite kind of music, which is Miles Davis. But anyway, moving on. You are a composer yourself.
I am.
Yes. Tell me about some of your compositions. Is it mainly around genre of church music or hymns, if you like?
Yeah, I think I compose, the way I compose is that I compose when I'm asked to compose something. So, of course, most of my upbringing as a whaibese in the E Whakasā Church, I would have to compose, you know, Bisi o le me or Bisi fo au kalalei. So that's the kind of stuff that I would do. And the style I would compose in would be something that's, you know, choral music, it's classical, it's something that my whaibese would really love to or enjoy getting stuck into. Today, as a community leader and practitioner here in Melbourne, I compose things like songs for music theatre. I have a community choir called the Melbourne Samoan Choir, so I would compose things for my choir, and basically it just depends on what I've been asked to do or what's needed, then I would compose. But I'm not a composer in the sense where it's my bread and butter, where I sit down and have to compose a huge amount of work, you know, but it's something that I do enjoy doing.
While you're around to your compositions for music theatre, why don't you give a plug to the performance.
Okay,
go ahead.
So that's the music. It's the very first Pacific, which I'm very proud of, and the very first Pacific Island musical that's been created by Pacific Islanders living here in Australia. I think when people think of Pacific Island musical, they always think of South Pacific. We're very proud to be able to produce something that is, we are actually showing that musical this Friday here in Melbourne. It's called Rehawaiki, and it's basically just the themes of the play, you know, it just talks about what it's like to be a Pacific Islander living here in Australia, trying to navigate your identity, you know, trying to be an Australian, trying to be an Islander. There's a lot of themes that are covered in this musical, which I'm really proud to be part of.
Rita Selmanutafa, it was so nice to talk to you, and thank you for sharing your musical life with us, and good luck with the PhD thesis.
So ifua ma ia manuia.